And we're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassman coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week, wherever you get your podcasts. Josh and I will be talking about Fallout on Amazon Prime. Is it good? Is it worth your time? Find out what we think and more on the world of pop culture at Pop Culture Cosmos starting on Monday. Go ahead and check it out there. Plus, also as well, Inside Sports Fantasy Football will be covering later this month, the NFL Draft. And, of course, also as well, Joe Soro, he is lurking around somewhere. He'll be a great part of what we're doing. But he is Ox1947 at LakersBall.com, plus his company, SimBlades, SimBladesBuildAY.com. Big shout-out to the Lakerholics. That is Laker Tom and Jamie Sweet. They were on yesterday. Hopefully you got a chance to check out the show. Go ahead and check out what they do each and every time out at LakerHolics.com. Plus our good friends, Empire Jeff TV, also as well. Of course, Lakers in 5. Of course, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights. Yo! And of course, John McCallion Channel. And don't forget John Costas, Lakers Corner Clutch Talk. Hopefully he'll join us today. He said he would be iffy on that. So hopefully if you didn't get a chance to check out his channel, he'll stop on by here. And of course, Stone Hansen is doing the best job out there covering the NBA draft right there for you at report_court on Twitter. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. Truly appreciate you joining us. The Lakers heading in today, needing to win to get to 8th place in the Western Conference to finish off the season strong. Would they do it? And the answer was a resounding yes. The Lakers from the get-go seemed like a team that was focused. Whatever team that was on Friday was not the same team that was here today. The Lakers from the get-go were focused, were determined, and gave great effort in the first half as they scored 70 points in the first half and never looked back as they had the lead upwards of close to 30-point lead at various times. And Lakers, again, coming out in the second half, did exactly what they needed to with a strong surge to start out the second half. And the Lakers made it very comfortable for themselves with a victory, but it came at a cost. We don't know what the high cost of that is yet, because AD did go out of the game after scoring 30 points and 11 rebounds with back spasms. We believe it's back spasms, so hopefully he'll be okay. But the Lakers do pull off the victory, 124 to 108. LeBron James with the triple-double, 28 points, 17 assists, 11 rebounds. Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell chipping in with 20 and 19. Torian Prince off the bench with 9. And the Lakers, again, get the job done. They're in 8th place in the Western Conference. They controlled their destiny, and they did a great job in that. So they play, I believe, on Wednesday is their next game. So we'll go ahead and take a look at that coming up here, and we'll try to get finalized on the entire Western Conference standings for you, because all the games in the NBA are done. So let me go ahead and run it down for you here in a sec. But here today to go ahead and discuss everything that's going on with the Lakers is a good man indeed. He is the guy behind @report_court on Twitter. It is, of course, Stone Hansen. Stone, great to have you here. Lakers in a must win for today. And you know what? Again, they played with a lot of energy and focus right from the get-go, and that was it for today. Basically, the Pelicans could never, ever get anything on defense because they just could not stop anything the Lakers threw at.
Yeah, the Lakers' defense started strong with their offense. It was humming, and they got a big enough lead to it. Once the Lakers' defense fell off a bit, it didn't really matter because the Pelicans' defense was just as bad, and they already had that buffer of a lead. So the Lakers were just humming offensively and were able to pull this out because they're just a really bad matchup for the Pelicans, and that's why I'm pretty confident that we'll win the play-in as well.
So when I ask you this, Stone, what exactly do you thought from the get-go? I just thought they played with more focus, and they really got the transition game going early, and I think they put New Orleans on their heels really right off the get-go. But what do you think really got them off to that great start?
I mean, I think it really came down to the fact that the Pelicans just have zero rim protection, and that's where the Lakers tend to thrive, is they work inside out, and particularly mostly just inside in general. So being able to do that on a consistent basis when there's not much resistance there from the Pelicans, I think allows them to get in a rhythm and get pretty comfortable and be able to make things, you know, happen. I also thought the ball movement was really good. There was a lot less standing around than usual. Players were moving around more. And what would you know, when you start doing that, you get better looks and more open opportunities. So I think there's a lot of good to say about the Lakers offensively today.
Just want to go ahead and cover right now. There you see the Western Conference standings right there. And also here today, good man indeed. It is, of course, the guy behind Cymbalate, cymbalateswithay.com. It is Joe Soro. Joe, great to have you here. We have come down to it. The season is over, the regular season, and the playoffs are and the play-in are set. Oklahoma has won the Western Conference. Minnesota and Denver are right behind them. LA Clippers, Mavericks, Pels, Suns, and then you see the Lakers, Kings, and the Warriors. In fact, let me update this because it's changing right here. There we go. Oklahoma, Denver, Minnesota, LA Clippers, Mavericks, the Suns, Pelicans, and the Lakers, Kings, and the Warriors. Pelicans and the Lakers play. I'm still trying to figure out which day and which time. I haven't got confirmation on NBA.com as of yet. I'm still standing by on that. I'm also checking Twitter for that as well. So, Joe, your thoughts on today's game and how well the Lakers played?
Looked very similar to 2020 with LeBron initiating the offense and getting everyone involved. Everyone's dives, everyone's just overall movement was crisp. Some of the most crisp playmaking that I've seen all year, which we've kind of seen a little bit of the evolution of the offense here the last few months. Tonight felt like it came to its best performance. But Stone did mention that there is no interior defense on this team. Therefore, Rui sliding through and getting under the basket for easy layups and dunks was because of that. But then again, the Lakers executed it, so you got to give the Lakers credit there. How this plays out is starting to get pretty obvious. It just looks like, and I'm going to say the Lakers are going to beat New Orleans again on Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever day they play. And then they got to face Denver. We're trying to avoid this in the first round, but then I start thinking about it. Maybe it's just best that they get this now when they're at their freshest versus going through two grueling series before meeting Denver. However, I'm now interested in seeing what happened with Anthony Davis. It was a non-contact injury, and non-contact injuries usually are not good. So unless he just tweaked it, just kind of doing a little something, I need to know what's going on there first before
said it was a spasm. Just want to let you know.
Good. Okay. If it's a spasm, then he'll be fine.
Said he is extremely optimistic about the status of Anthony Davis
moving forward
and thinks it was a spasm. We'll likely speak to Davis soon in the locker room. So he doesn't seem like it's too urgent, Joe. So.
Okay, good. Then it's Lakers have to win this next game and not allow themselves to have to worry about going to Sacramento or Golden State to win a second game to get in. Just win here and face the music here right out of the gate.
Yeah, you and I don't prescribe to that. Let's go ahead and lose the game on Tuesday. And by the way, the play-in game for the Lakers, I guess it's Western-Eastern Conference. It's not 9-10, 8-9 type deal. It's Western-Eastern Conference, everyone. So the Western Conference plays on Tuesday. You and I, Joe, don't prescribe to the let's lose on Tuesday just to try to avoid whatever scenario that would involve us playing Denver in the first round. You don't prescribe to that.
No, I'm not. I don't prescribe to it. No, I prescribe to winning.
Because we've been hearing that. We heard that all the time in the last quarter on playback.
Well, the problem with that is, I don't know if it's a generational mentality, but it's not conducive to winning. You want to go lose here? How do you do that? And then get back on. What if you lose to Sacramento or Golden State? Then you don't make the playoffs. You at least have a shot. You go into the playoffs to beat Denver. The Lakers have been competitive with Denver. They haven't been getting blown out by them, even in the last 8 games that they've played against them. Well, I think one of them was actually, but the Lakers are going to win, and I'd like to think that this is going to be it. They'll finally get a win in that series should they beat New Orleans on Tuesday. It's just a matter of can they win 4. That right now is probably a no until I see that it's a yes.
Once again, it is the Lakers fast break. The Lakers do win, holding down now the 8th seed. They win today on the road in New Orleans, 124-108. They play in Tuesday's play-in game against the New Orleans Pelicans in New Orleans. So they stay in New Orleans. They must, hopefully they'll like that New Orleans cooking there down there in the bayou. But here today to go ahead and talk about today's game. He did make it. I am so happy for that. It is the guy behind Clutch Talk and Lakers Corner. It is John Costa. John, great to have you here. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts. The Lakers did pull out the victory today right from the get-go. They look like the better team. Does this bode well for Tuesday's play-in game also in New Orleans?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I am very happy to be here. Full transparency, you guys, because I was at church with my girls in the morning. I did miss the first quarter. Caught it a little bit like midway through second quarter and then caught the rest of the game, but doesn't look like I really missed out on much. I mean, we popped them. There was one point in the game where I believe we had like a 27 point lead or something like that. So felt really good, man. Even though the Pelicans would go on their little 11-0 runs, we were still up by 20 plus. Felt great. And it feels even better to be here with my guys. Great to see Stone, Gerald, Joe, and everybody in the chat. But anyway, guys, man, Joe, it's funny because you and Gerald just say, you know, you don't prescribe to the whole, lose so that we don't got to face Denver. And I agree, you know, because like you'd be putting yourself in a tough situation by like losing a game on purpose and then like guaranteeing that you're going to have to win the next game. So it's a tough ordeal to put yourself into. But I also think it's a real tough ordeal to go face the freaking reigning champions when, like, it's not even the fact that they're a far better team than us. It's just the fact that I feel like we struggle to defend what their biggest strengths are. I mean, we struggle to defend these backdoor cuts. That, man, they go backdoor cuts all game long. So, you know, I don't want to say let's go ahead and just lose here. But man, I don't know how much of a great idea it would be to get the Denver Nuggets in the first round. So, I mean, I guess I'm torn a little bit down the middle, but hey, we got the win. And at least for me being in the Bay Area, I can tell everyone out there in the Bay that we got higher seating than the Warriors. I had a couple friends here that bet some money with me that they would have the Warriors that have a higher seating. So not only it's Sunday, but it's also payday for me, man. It's also payday for me because
Do you need us to help you collect?
Yes, Joe? I might need to send Big Joe, Gerald, and Stone to go collect some of my earnings that I got here off the Lakers getting the 8th seed. But regardless, nonetheless, we're here, man. Happy to be here, and we got the win. LeBron James, goated game, triple-double. Man had like, when I turned on the game, guys, he already had a double-double. I was like, oh, all right, Bron, this is what we doing? So feels really good, man, but happy to see you guys.
Joe, the Lakers, again, they started out with very forceful. They grabbed control of the lead really quickly, and I think a lot of it had to do with the transition game. They were able to get on the break, and LeBron leading the way, 17 assists tonight. The facilitator got the job done.
Yes, and Gary has finally come back. Gary had a link that he needed to send us so we can view. So we'll get to that in a second here. Gary, go ahead and send the link. But as far as LeBron James, I believe, had 11 assists, I think, 9 minutes in.
Yes.
That's pretty remarkable. And we had discussed here just a few minutes ago how it looked very eerily similar to how the Lakers were playing when they won the championship. LeBron initiating the offense, people moving around, people being effective under the basket, people hitting their shots, people getting wide open shots. LeBron James is a facilitator. There's no denying is one of the best ever as a facilitator. And also probably the best at getting to the basket. One top two for sure. And it could be a sign of things to come, or it could be the fact that they were playing New Orleans. Now, New Orleans was playing very well. I think it's interesting, actually, how we degrade every team we whoop like they were nothing. And what happens there is you do that because you get so spoiled and so entitled. That's why people don't like Laker fans, that we look at New Orleans as this ragtag, just Memphis Grizzly-like team. Guys, these guys pretty much had a six seed wrapped up until today. And they're a good team. The Lakers made them look like they weren't a good team. Maybe the Lakers are a good team, folks. Maybe the Lakers know what they're doing. Now, we've questioned their hearts and their nuts. That's different. That's a different discussion. And for the Lakers, in terms of the overall picture recently, because I don't want to look back on, I don't want to keep talking about December and January when they lost games that they lost. It's just the most recent decisions that they've made have now probably put them in a position where they got to play Denver in the first round. This could be a bad thing, could be a good thing. We have to wait till that series is over. If it ends up being a bad thing, which means they lose, that means not playing in Minnesota and Golden State, one of the stars each. Now that comes back to bite them, right? Because what if Jamal Murray gets hurt in the second round? Now you look back and you're like, geez. So this thing can go so many ways. This season, now that we finalized 82 games plus a play-in game, in-tournament season game, 83 games, and there's going to be one more, obviously, at least, you are looking at one of the more fractured, I call the Lakers fractured, but this is one of the more fractured seasons that I've seen in terms of assessment. Nothing makes sense. You saw New Orleans make runs where they were up winning five in a row. Then all of a sudden, now they're a seven. Phoenix, they're like, oh, they have the hardest schedule left. Now they're a six. You look at Golden State, they were killing everybody, even the Lakers. Now they're going to be 10. The Kings were off and running. Then Herter and Monk go down. I mean, guys, once Tuesday and Wednesday is done and everything is solidified, and the Lakers are in, obviously, you're looking at a complete mystery on what's going to happen. Still, we do not know what's going to happen anymore. It's likely Denver will beat the Lakers in the playoffs, but do we really know that? Do we really know it? I don't know. I don't know at this point. I really don't know. It's been that kind of a season. So let's get on this. I have to wait till after the play-in because that's not a playoff series, folks. It's not a playoff series. But once the play-in games are done, we can come back on the show Wednesday, Thursday night, whatever, and we're going to be able to discuss maybe probably what's likely to happen after that, at least a little bit. But even then, it'll be still up in the air.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's going on with the Pop Culture Cosmos Show and the PCC Multiverse.
But watching this, like, if this could make me a fan of documentaries, it's like a gateway drug. Like, this could open the door for so many people who have not sat down and watched a documentary because it is so enthralling.
Is it going to be enough, though? I think the fish out of water syndrome might be enough for somebody like us, because it's going to be hilarious to watch two stoner kids we saw barely make it through high school now live in a society that they fully don't understand because they've been stuck in a decade and never came out of it.
If something's going to be successful or not, they look at the mentions, they look at the likes, they look at the retweets and the tweets and the subtweets and the tweet tweets, and they look at all of that to say, okay, this is actually going to garner a lot of attention.
Because I think that we've hit a point with our entertainment where we're asking a little bit more than fart jokes and toilet humor.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmos Show and the PCC Multiverse. Available on radio stations worldwide and wherever you get your podcasts. Stone, when you see the kind of ball movement and the activity on defense and the ball movement on offense like we did in that first quarter especially, you and I were both highly encouraged because these are things we saw in the first half that we had not seen much of the season, Stone.
Yeah, I mean, they played well in their 83rd game of the season. In 82 games, they didn't do this. I think the offense was really good. And like I said, like Joe's saying too, the Pelicans are a good team. I think they're just not good against us because they just, the matchup is bad for them. Like, it's just a bad matchup. Especially, it sounds like AD is going to be healthy. I don't want to guarantee that the Lakers are going to win, but I feel pretty confident that they will win the play-in. And especially if they play like they did today. So, yeah, I was encouraged to see that. But going up against Denver, to me, it doesn't really change much in how I view that series.
So, John, let me ask you this. With Tuesday coming up for the Lakers and a very, you know, possible thing as far as meeting up against Denver, some of us in the chat or some people in the chat are still convinced that maybe the Lakers should find their way out of the seventh seed, if at all possible, by losing on Tuesday. But that would mean an extra game for us. What is your thinking the best course of action should be for the Lakers?
I mean, honestly, guys, kind of like I was saying, I think it's clear that the least favorable matchup is the Denver Nuggets. But then again, we cannot guarantee that we get a win against the Golden State Warriors. We cannot guarantee that we get a win against the Kings. I mean, we've known what Sabonis has just turned into, freaking prime Shaquille O'Neal, like every time he goes against Anthony Davis. And as we've seen, the Warriors just couldn't, I mean, they're already a good three-point shooting team, but they just couldn't miss. Hit a, I believe, season-high 26 three-pointers last time we played them. Now, I wouldn't bet on that happening again, but I think that we could just secure our spot in the playoffs a lot easier just by beating the Pelicans in this game on Tuesday, which I would feel a lot more comfortably us being able to do versus the Golden State Warriors and the Kings. And also to both Joe and Stone's point about the Pelicans being good, the Pelicans are actually have been really freaking good. I mean, Brandon Ingram missed a whole bunch of time. This is his first game coming back. I just did an NBA award show on my Clutch Talk page, and I didn't have Herb Jones as my defensive player of the year, but I gave him some love because he's probably one of the best perimeter defenders right now in the league. Zion had an off game. We know what B.I. do. Jonas Valanciunas, I know that they didn't really want to play him much tonight because they wanted to go small, but he's a big time big. Like, this team is a really good team and have been at the top of the Western Conference for a long time. But like Hastone alluded to, it's all about matchups, and matchups favored us. And I think that if we can just handle business, knock out the Pelicans, and then be in that seventh seed, and we'll even get some time between us beating the Pelicans in the first round of the play-in and the first round of the playoffs of us against the Denver Nuggets, that, you know what, I say, let's give it our best shot. Like I just said, I do think the Denver Nuggets are a better team than us. I think their biggest strengths are our biggest weaknesses. But at the end of the day, their best player is Nikola Jokic. Our best player is Anthony Davis. I mean, I guess depending on how you look at it, no matter how you look at it, our best player is Anthony Davis. And if Anthony Davis can be out there, if we can get some great shooting. I'm talking about great shooting. That there cannot be, not even, I'm not even going to say a game. We can't even have a half where we have players like, you know, D'Angelo Russell not stepping up and not hitting these shots, because here comes playoffs. And in playoff basketball, one thing that I've said a whole bunch of times, and pretty sure it was me and Joe one time, we were talking about how we're not delusional for saying that if we can be fully healthy and in playoffs, like, this Lakers team is honestly pretty good, and I feel pretty comfortable about us beating any team in the West besides the Denver Nuggets in a 7-game series, because in a 7-game series, what you've seen tonight from LeBron James, where he absolutely just controls the game, where he has the ball in his hands, where he's making the decision, that's going to be 99% of the time what's going to happen in a 7-game playoff series. But then what does that fall on? That falls on players like D'Angelo Russell, who is a rhythm type player. He's going to have to find his rhythm without having the ball in his hands as much, because that ball is going to be in LeBron and AD's hands for those high pick and rolls. And D'Lo is going to have to just be on the corner, on the wing, ready to catch and shoot. So this whole, I guess, narrative that we've even been saying on this channel for some time now of D'Angelo Russell has to have the ball in his hands to be in rhythm. He's gonna have to figure out another way to get in rhythm, because we're gonna need him in this Denver series. We're gonna need him all throughout the playoffs, but we're not gonna need him being this on the ball dominant player. I mean, when LeBron James is out of the game, yeah, I want him operating the pick and roll. I want him making the decisions for us. But I'm expecting, even though LeBron James is 39, I'm expecting big time a lot of 40-minute games for LeBron James, where he's playing almost all of the game, because that's just kind of what we come down to, especially against facing the Denver Nuggets. But to answer your question, Gerald, I do not think we should lose to the Pelicans purposely, punt that game, and then try to beat the either Kings or the Warriors to get that number 1 seed, even though I would love to face the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Once again, it is the Lakers fast break. The Lakers do win today, going away, dominating the first half, leading, and just keeping a good distance from the New Orleans Pelicans, 124 to 108. Joe, we did get confirmation from AD himself that it was just a spasm, just a tweak. He says back tightened up on a shove. You saw that shove. It wasn't very much of a shove by Larry Nance. Didn't look that threatening, but it did tighten up on him. And he says that there's no doubt he's going to play on Tuesday.
I didn't think he wouldn't. Glad it's a spasm. I've had those before. They can be gone fairly shortly. That's good. To answer Angel Rodriguez's question, I don't believe Vando will be anything useful this season. We're seeing it a little bit with Gabe Vincent already. It's very difficult to not play and be in rhythm, being out that long. And Vando, while he's played more than Gabe, he's too in and out this year. I just don't think, even if he did come back, he would be an integral part of the rotation. Stick with what's working right now. Right now, your starting lineup is your lifeblood. Make sure that everything goes through that. And then you can just pray that Gabe Vincent can make at least a couple shots here and there, but play good defense. That's where his benefit is at this point. Just play good defense, and then feed Jackson Hayes when he plays 12 minutes a game in the playoffs, and with those great pick and roll dunks that they've been executing the last few months. Then, of course, Stone Hansen's most favorite player in NBA history, Spencer Dinwiddie, bring in that veteran leadership and hopefully hit a couple shots as well, and, you know, be that guy that can maybe win you at least one game per series, kind of like Lonnie Walker last year. Other than that, the short answer, I guess, is no, Vando won't do much. I think the Nuggets are actually the team that exploited him badly last year. I would say the one player I am worried about right now, should the Lakers play Denver, is D'Angelo Russell. If they get him out of his game, Lakers are done in 4-5. So the Lakers are going to need D'Angelo Russell to be a sniper every single game. If not, it's going to be a short series.
Robert asks you, before I turn it over to Stone, do you think the fact that the Lakers have lost the eight straight times in Denver, including get swept in the playoffs, clouds the judgment as to how close the gap really is between the Nuggets and the Lakers?
Yeah, I mean, there is something there, considering four of those losses were last year in the playoffs. But the reality is, folks, as things change in the playoffs, we saw LeBron James, after 82 games, still perform at a high level. AD as well. I don't care, again, about the Pelicans not having good inside presence or a good interior defense. Look, New Orleans Pelicans are a good team. They're a good team. And the Lakers made them look like a bad team. The Lakers, in 1988, the Dodgers had lost all but one game against the New York Mets before they met them in the NLCS. And the Dodgers ended up winning that series 4-3. This was a Dodger team that was a ragtag team. I know it's baseball, but the point is, it doesn't matter what's happened in the past. All that matters now is if the Lakers win on Tuesday, they're going to face Denver. And if this is something that kind of was in the back of my mind for the last few months. I never really talked about it. I was going back and forth whether I thought if they do face Denver in the first round, because I was pretty content and knowing that the Lakers were going to be on the bottom half of that, of the seeds. What happens if they face Denver in the first round? Could that be a benefit? Because you don't have two grueling series before, like you did last year, to zap the energy of a team that doesn't have any depth, really. So I would say this might be a better time to play Denver. Doesn't mean they're not going to lose, but it might be a better time to play Denver, because playoff series can zap you. There's so much energy used in series. Tim Hardaway in 1997, they interviewed him after they had met the Bulls at that time. The Bulls had were going on their second back-to-back championship there. They had take out all the energy that they could in that second round where they won, and then they faced the Bulls in the Eastern Conference Finals, and the Bulls obviously smacked them around. And what he did say was, he said, we had nothing left. We had nothing left. So I think about that sometimes when you go into these series. Is it better to face certain teams first or last? I actually think at this point, with the structure of the team and the roster, I believe that the Lakers probably should play Denver now. It doesn't matter if they lose now or in the Western Conference Finals to me. If you're going to win a championship, you might as well do it right away. And it's not going to get easier after that, just because you beat Denver. You could blow your wad there, right, and end up losing in the next round. That happens a lot. That happened with Dallas a few years back when they beat Phoenix. At that time, they were the reigning conference champions. So it's a grueling run. But maybe this might be the old blessing in disguise. Should they win by some miracle that series? But I got to wait till Wednesday and Thursday before I really delve into this.
Once again, it is the Lakers fast break. The Lakers do win 124-108. The Lakers play New Orleans again on Tuesday. Stone, one thing I was impressed by in that first half, especially, was the ball movement, like we talked about, but the passing, not just by LeBron, but by the entire team. I think it was infectious. Once you started seeing LeBron humming around those passes and getting those dimes, you saw other players like AD, other players, D'Angelo, they all got in some nice passes as well. Your thoughts on how well the passing looked very crisp for most of the game today.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything stems back to the fact that we could just get into the paint at will. And not having any paint presence there really allows you to collapse defenses and open up passing lanes that otherwise wouldn't be available. So I think that by doing that, the Lakers were able to get into somewhat of a free-flowing type rhythm that allowed them to move the ball a lot without having any interior resistance on that.
So let me ask you this before I send it over to John. I know Vando is still a great source of discussion for a player who probably will not be playing at all for the rest of the season. He's not yet even ready for 5-on-5 contact at this point in time, but still a lot of our fan base is still hoping that he can come in there. If he gets back, do you see, like Joe, that there's not really much he can do, or do you see he can do something to contribute to the team if he is able to come back?
Not in the first round. I mean, it's gonna, after being gone for that long, you need time to get your conditioning back. You need to get your legs under you, and doing that against the best team in at least the conference is not an easy, you know, thing to do. So I don't really see it as, even if Vanderbilt was at full health, I still would give the Lakers like a 20% chance to win the series. But I don't think he makes a big enough difference to really change the outcome of this series, even at full health. But I don't think he'll be at full health because it takes a long time to get to that point after being out for that length of time.
John, do you agree with Adam that they need Vando, that Darvin gave up Vando too early in the Nuggets series? I actually don't. I think that Vando was played and schemed off the court very effectively by Michael Malone in that series. I think they found a lot of his flaws in the way that they forced him to shoot on offense, and also as well forced him around screens, which is a major deficiency of his also on the defensive end. So your thoughts, how badly do you think Vando is needed? At least he does have 5 fouls that you can get on Murray, and that at least I'll give him that.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think he's going to contribute as much, to be 100% honest with you. He does have, 5 fouls. Like, the only thing, if he was out there, for me, I'd be like, all right, go foul. And this is going to sound crazy, guys, but it's just a basketball. But go give Jokic the hardest foul he has ever seen in his life. And you could get ejected by all means if you want. Go give Jamal Murray one of the hardest injuries. I'm not saying go injure them, but hey, you know, make sure that they don't want to – they think twice about coming into the lane. I think that's about it he can help us with. But besides that, getting his legs under us against literally – I know they came down and they finished as, the second seed, but I think that without a shadow of a doubt, the Denver Nuggets are a better team than the Timberwolves and the Thunder. So they're really the best. They're really the best team in the league. I guess if you look at record wise, it'd be the Celtics, but I don't believe that, there's anyone top to bottom better than the Denver Nuggets, unfortunately. And I would hate to see Vando trying to get his legs under him in that series. So don't think he could provide much besides 5 fouls, to be honest with you.
So Joe, I ask you this, and once again, the Lakers do win today, 124-108. They are now 8th place and finish 8th place in the Western Conference. We're still seeing it. We're still seeing it as far as in the chat. I've just checked social media out there, and there's still a lot of fans out there clamoring about playing with their food and saying maybe the Lakers should not go all out on Tuesday, Joe. But as you and I say, and as you and I will continue to say over the next 48 hours, you know, don't. If you can put out the same kind of effort that you did today, Joe, I think you need all the momentum you can get going into playing a Denver team.
Yeah, I'm not taking any chances. If the Lakers had that thought process and ended up losing Tuesday because of it, I wouldn't be surprised if they lost in Sacramento or Golden State. Those are bad matchups for them, actually.
Well, they would be hosting against
Doesn't matter. Sacramento beat them twice at home. In LA, and I believe Golden State beat them twice in LA. So that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The Lakers need to win on Tuesday, get in the playoffs, face the beast right out the gate. If you're championship worthy, you take them out in the first round then. and then have the mentality that it's going to get, it won't be as rigorous. It's still going to be hard, but it won't be as rigorous if you take out the champs in the first round.
Plus you get an extra couple of days.
Correct. Which is don't ever want to lose. If you don't believe me, go watch the Lakers in 2015, 16, and 17. And watch what losing does. If LeBron James doesn't come to LA, the Lakers are probably still losing. It builds a mentality that you don't want on your team, and it's what's killing the Spurs right now. They thought they could reinvigorate their franchise because, well, they got Victor Wembanyama. Sure, yeah. Well, the problem is they've been losing way before Victor. They just happened to get lucky and win the lottery this last year. But what it does is it's going to likely build more of that mentality unless they get the right players, and they're not going to get much probably in this draft. So they're going to need somebody to come to San Antonio that would matter. So someone like Spider, right, out in Cleveland, if you wanted to leave. I just don't like it. I don't like that losing mentality. You go beat New Orleans again, which is a good team, in their own house, and then get ready to go play Denver and try to steal a game out of Denver and watch how this thing changes a little bit.
Stone, let me ask you this. I thought one of the keys for today's game, especially early, was I thought they effectively played Zion very well. I thought that the defense didn't hold up all game, but the defense early on against Zion, I think, helped set that tone. Like you said, obviously no rim protection for them inside on the other end. But for the Lakers on that end, I think they played. And a lot of it early on, I think you have to give some credit on the defensive end to LeBron James, who matched up against Zion. And I think it worked out pretty good, at least in the first couple quarters in that first half, because Zion got off to a very slow start.
Yeah, I think LeBron was okay. I think it was mostly to do with AD and Zion's an interior, I mean, almost exclusively interior scorer. And the fact that he couldn't get anything to go, I think, is indicative of AD's defense. And he had to settle for some mid-range shots. That's just not really his forte. So I think that it's just all around a bad matchup for the Pelicans against us. Not to say things can't happen and they could win, but it's just there's so many things that stack up against them when facing us.
So, John, I'm going to bring it to you now, my friend. And once again, the Lakers do win 124 to 108. I know that some of the fans out there are talking about Gabe Vincent. He's come back and he's not looked good. He has looked rusty, to say the least. He's only hit 3 3-pointers all season. That's what you got. And you got Dinwiddie, who's been shaky himself as far as in and out with his shot as well. So your options are not plentiful on the bench. Torian Prince, you got about a good quarter and a half from him to start off the game. But again, so much is reliant on the starting five, John, because the bench is, you don't know what you're going to get. You really do not. It's like a box of chocolates, my friend, in Forrest Gump. You really don't know what you're going to get.
And you know what's unfortunate is the fact that, yes, in the playoffs, rotations shorten, but benches become so much more important. Like, rotations shorten in playoffs, less players play instead of a team running like a 10-man rotation or whatnot. They might run a 7-man, 8-man rotation. But those 3 to 4 bench players that you have that are playing become so crucial. So and it's upsetting to us, and it's very frustrating because right around the time that we're going to need a bench, right? Facing not only just the Denver Nuggets, just being in the freaking playoffs, like, we're going to need our bench players to step up. And it's upsetting because our bench players just haven't stepped up. And to ask, and I say this because I'm not trying to just beat Denver. Like, I'm trying to go all the way. Right. So to ask a 39-year-old LeBron James, granted, Anthony Davis has been healthy this season. We're not just going to throw away the last 10 seasons we've seen. He's still an injury-prone player. So to ask an injury-prone player and a 39-year-old LeBron James to
play ultimately every minute, basically, of maybe every game throughout the us trying to get through the playoffs. I just think it's just it's a formula for disaster, to be honest.
I mean, you're not worried at all about Gabe Vincent's 11% shooting from three.
So I'm extremely worried, Gerald. And you know what's funny, Gerald? I've said this so many times. I said this on a couple of streams ago when Gabe Vincent just came down court and just took a transition pull up 3-pointer without even having one pass in the half court set. I'm tired of getting these Miami Heat guys.
You and
okay?
Joe both.
I'm tired. No, and it's so frustrating because I've said this so many times. Like, the Heat culture is a real thing. If you just go to the Miami Heat and you buy into what they're doing, you work hard, you run the 10 miles that they have you run every single day, you listen to what the greatest coach currently coaching right now in the NBA, in my opinion, Eric Spoelstra, you buy into what he's saying, you buy into what Pat Riley's doing, you work hard in offseason. Their system is going to make you look like a freaking good player. And the Lakers have fell for it twice because the way I seen Kendrick Nunn, from the way he played in the Heat to the way he played in the Lakers, it quite literally looked like two different players. And it's looking like the same with Gabe Vincent. Yeah, Gabe and Nunn. Exactly, Chris. I've been preaching that for so long. And I just, man, like, can we stop doing with these Miami Heat guys? And you know what's funny is I always watch like interviews of NBA players, and it's not even just with the Lakers. Like, it's Miami Heat players that go to other teams, they talk about that. They're like, wait, like, I don't get utilized the same way. Like, we're not doing the same things. So, man, it's frustrating that we took a chance on Gabe, and it's frustrating. And I don't
3 years.
3 years. And I don't think this is going to turn around. And even if he does turn around, dog, like, he's not what we need. He's not what we need.
With
Chris said it
issues.
Best. Yes. With knee issues. He's not what we need. Chris said it best. He stole money from the Lakers. Yeah.
I could see that conversation this past summer with you know, saw Rob Pelinka. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's great. You know what? We struck out the first time around in Miami. You know, this time will be better. Yeah. See how that's worked, Rob.
Ridiculous.
Joe, again, you and I have great concerns as far as what goes on in the playoffs, especially if the Lakers have to lean at all on their bench. But I think the saving grace is that in crunch time, in playoff time, Joe, you have to rely more and more on your starters than ever before.
They've had to rely on the starters all year anyways. Injuries and focus were off in the first half. Otherwise, maybe they would have played Rui in the starting lineup more. They're 18-6 to end the year with that lineup. And when we extrapolated that in an 82-game season, granted, I know not all players are going to play 82 games, but they would have won 60 games had they stuck with that starting lineup or had they had the chance to play those guys. Which is, again, Stone, I might want to close your ears here, which is why I believe, regardless of what happens this year, maybe it's best that they stick with this for next year. Rui is young. D'Angelo is young. Austin is young. We cannot keep changing every summer. The Lakers need additions that matter. Now, they struck out in the draft last year, and they struck out in free agency. If minus Jackson Hayes, I think for what they got him for, I think he's been pretty darn solid, which was what I thought was going to be a dud signing. It's important for the continuity, and it's important to ride those things, because if you do go into this offseason and focus on depth and talent that would work with this team, you could maybe squeeze one more year of an opportunity. Looking a little far ahead, but the discussion is Gabe Vincent. It's a discussion about why it's going to be difficult for the Lakers to win this year, is because they don't have that. I thought John's point on bench players are crucial during these times. Very true, even though the rotations shrink, but it's those one or two guys off the bench that sometimes win you championships. You look at somebody like Robert Horry. You look at somebody like Bruce Brown last year. You look at players in all championship runs. Patty Mills, I remember, was part of that 2014 Spurs team that was just – he was not missing in the playoffs from three. Sometimes those guys can catch fire and they can roll. Hell, Derek Fisher in 2001 comes back from an ankle injury. Lakers lose one game after that for the next 3 months. He went 16 or 15 for 20 in that series against the Spurs to go to the finals. He wasn't missing. So bench players do matter. At that time, Ron Harper was still starting at point guard. And the Lakers are going to go all out here. I truly believe they're going to go all out to see what they can do, regardless of what happens. I urge the Lakers organization to roll with what they have right now and add to the team. Just don't get any Miami Heat players.
Stay away from them, please.
Stay away from them. If Pat Riley don't want them, that's a bad signal.
I don't think you're going to like this answer, Kern. But Stone, Kern is asking, should we have given Max Christie more burn to prep him for the playoffs?
You got this one, Stone. You be as lethal as you want on this one.
Go ahead. Explain why.
Because Max Christie is bad.
Hey, you know what's crazy? I was saying this to my brother a long time ago. Not to be rude, not to be disrespectful, I don't think Max Christie's an NBA level player yet. Like he's just not. Like, and
I don't think he can be.
Okay, cool. So my brother is always on the hype of like, oh, you know, let's have him on a team because, you know, we could develop him. We don't have time to be developing him. I'd rather use that roster spot for someone that can actually be helpful for us. That guy's not an NBA player.
Well, you have to be able to develop someone that has the potential to be an NBA player. I don't think Christie has that potential. It doesn't matter what team he'd be on. You could put him on any of the 30 teams. I don't think if you give him 3 years, he's going to turn into a positive NBA player.
So even if on a Charlotte team per se,
no. Well, they're terrible at development.
Well, look at Scottie Pippen Jr. He looked like a good bench player with Memphis
in right? April.
He looked terrible with LA. The opportunity to play on a bad team can always present itself. The issue with Max Christie is if he's not hitting shots, he's not gonna benefit the team. He needs to make shots. His shot is good. His releases are good. He can get some separation every now and then, but he needs to make them consistently. If he had been able to do that, then he would have a chance at being a good rotational player. But and you know he has some potential on defense. But if he's not making shots, he can't control the ball. He can't initiate an offense. He's not strong enough to deal with the bigger players that are at his position. It's just a lack of skill set in the NBA, unfortunately. It's not that he doesn't want to. He's a nice guy. He's a team player. He's got potential, but this team needs guys that know what they're doing right now. The only way you bring someone in who doesn't have those things is if they're a freakish athlete, i.e. Jackson Hayes. If Jackson Hayes does not have that athleticism, he's not in the NBA. So if you want to bring in someone that has that presence, make sure they're athletic freaks. At least you can use that.
And Harry Giles III, if everybody recalls back to that Brooklyn game, he looked like, okay, if you and I came from down in the stands, that's what we would look like playing against NBA.
He looked like a guy that
don't do that to me, Joe.
He looked like a guy that had, he looked like a guy who tore his knee up and his body said, no,
both knees.
Yeah. I'm not letting you move. And honestly, I remember it was at the top of the key, right at the 3-point line. His man basically, yeah, his body did not move. That poor guy is not his fault.
That's honestly so sad. That's honestly so sad.
It's like the body and the knees, the tendons, like, dude, no. Like it would have been
not
a good...
his fault.
No, not at all. I felt bad. I felt bad actually. After I found out more detail on it,
It's a very sad story.
I kept calling him Harry Styles, and I that's not respectful either.
No, isn't he like the One Direction singer or something? I don't like that.
Yes. It's messed up. No, seriously, for real. I felt bad. I honestly felt bad because that's just not gonna, it's not gonna happen. It's done.
Adam, no. Hayes is not a good rim protector. I will give you that. But please, you know, you cannot compare him to Harry Giles.
Well, Alan makes a good point again about JHS. You picked a guy that is not athletic, that can't shoot from distance. They said he could shoot from
Mars.
From mid-range, which is that's a luxury more than a need. Okay, he can't really get to the basket. He can't really play deep. What the hell did you draft him for then? What did you see? Oh, I remember when I was watching backstage. Oh, we know you work hard. Oh, great. Oh, you work hard. Come on to the NBA. Come on. We all work hard. What does working hard mean? Oh, he wants it. Oh, he wants it. Okay, I want to play for the Lakers right now. Are they going to let me? No, they're not. You know why? Because I would suck. It's not going to work, folks. Let's wake up and understand what the team is and who people are. Basketball is one of the best sports when it comes to knowing pretty much right away. There are some that buck the trend, but it's not difficult to understand who is an NBA player and who isn't. Who is a rotational player? Who is it? Who's a starter? Who is it? Who is great? Who isn't? Who's an all-time great? Who isn't?
And I know we were high on Castleton to start off. It's like, oh, yeah, this undrafted player, but you saw him today. I mean,
that, what was that?
Hold on. Hold on.
That layup miss. I was.
The one footer.
Hold on, guys. Now, granted, Castleton may not be there yet, but I was in Summer League. I mean, I was in Vegas this summer at Summer League. I know it's totally two different games.
I was in Vegas. Stone.
I have more hope on him than I do on Max Christie, to be honest with you. But I have more hope he can develop into something. He could develop into a prototypical pick and roll, pick and pop big, but it's going to take some time.
He's got to work on his one footers there.
Yeah.
That's a really hard shot for one footer, for a seven footer.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.
Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com.
But I will ask this right now. Robert said in the chat, and I'm going to start off with you, John. Now that the 82 regular season game is over, the season is over and done with, how many teams right now would you pick to beat the Lakers in a 7-game series in the Western Conference? So out of all that's there, how many teams would you pick ahead of the Lakers in the Western Conference, John? I'll start off with you.
Okay. 7-game series?
Yeah, 7-game series. Okay. Joe and Stone, you think about this too, because it was for all of us.
Okay. 7-game series. I think the Denver Nuggets would beat us, as unfortunate as to say that, right when we're, I think, getting ready to face them. I think, honestly, this might sound crazy, guys, but that's the only team I know for a fact could beat us. Like, it's up in the air, and I feel very good about us beating Oklahoma City Thunder. But then again, that's a team. I don't want to disrespect a team that's been all season long top five in defensive rating and offensive rating. A team that's been elite, that has, in my opinion, the coach of the year. I don't want to disrespect them, but the matchups do favor us, and 9 times out of 10, that's what playoffs come down to, is matchups. The matchups do not favor us for the Mavericks.
Yeah, they dread Ed, so I don't feel comfortable with the Mavericks. And honestly, I'm gonna be honest, guys, like there's not any other team that I say, wow, like we for sure lose. Because look, the Mavericks, we just our perimeter defenders would have such a hard time with Luka and Kyrie. It'd be crazy. And they bolstered their front court at the trade deadline. So I'll give them that. The Nuggets, they're just an overall better team than us. But the Timberwolves, I don't feel super frightened about the Suns. I'm ready. Whatever you guys have, we can combat that as well and have fun dealing with Anthony Davis. The Clippers, maybe, but that's a coin flip, to be honest with you. So to answer the question, long-winded, the only two teams I fear is number one for sure, the Denver Nuggets, and then the Dallas Mavericks and everyone else. Hey, as long as the ball's in LeBron James' hands, he's making decision and he's playing 40 minutes and Anthony Davis is playing 40 minutes, I feel pretty comfortable about us getting the win in this in a 7-game series.
So, Joe, I turned it to you, my friend. Your thoughts on what Western Conference teams do you think the Lakers would have a difficult time with in a 7-game series? Obviously, Denver. I don't know who the Bang podcast is, Timothy, but that they can win a chip and beat the Nuggets, that's great that they're that positive and think that way. But I think it would be a very difficult matchup against the Nuggets.
Does Laker Tom have his own podcast?
I guess so. Maybe it's called the Bang Podcast. But Joe, what are the teams that you think might provide a challenge for the Lakers in the
series?
Who
There's no team in the NBA playoffs in terms of the teams that the Lakers would play that would not be a challenge. The Minnesota Timberwolves, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Dallas Mavericks, even the Clippers, if Kawhi is healthy, which I don't think he will be. The Lakers can do what they did when they played Minnesota and Golden State, and then they can do what they did in Memphis, and then they also can do what they did tonight. So what does that tell you? What does that tell you about that team's psyche? And it's probably not just them, too. We're just tunnel vision because we watch the Lakers and they're our team. All teams seem to do this. Look what happened with Dallas today. They got smacked by, what, 50? Because they already got everything done. And to me, you never know. You just don't know. You don't know. You don't know what the decisions they're going to make here. I was surprised that AD and LeBron didn't play in those games. That was probably the biggest surprise I've had, even more so than this whole sitting down games and all that. Like that's somewhat part of the game, I guess, now. But I didn't expect them to sit in those games. And those games now get magnified if they end up playing Denver and they end up losing. And let's say Jamal Murray gets hurt in the second round. Now you're kicking yourself. You see how it could develop? You see how that could have been a problem? All because of what? Because you want to not get hurt? Well, then retire. If you're worried about getting hurt, then retire. Just play. If you don't make it, you don't make it. But that's how I look at it. Maybe I'm too old. Maybe I'm not with it. But it just... It's gotten to this point now where all that deflecting and hoping for health is now putting in a position where you have to face the hardest team that you have faced in the last year and change in the first round. And that's if you beat New Orleans on Tuesday. You don't beat New Orleans on Tuesday. That means you have to face... granted, a depleted Sacramento team, possibly, or a Golden State team, which has whooped your ass twice in the last two games. And has Steph Curry on it and Klay Thompson. If those guys get hot again, you're screwed. You're not winning that game.
Stone, I want to ask you this. Before I get into that question but from Robert and get your thoughts on that, AD on the post game said that push from Larry Nance Jr., which we saw on the replay, he said he called that a dangerous play. It didn't look bad to me. Did it look bad to you? I think on live, we didn't think it was very much.
He even applied pressure. He just touched him.
Yeah, said it was a dangerous play.
Okay, well.
Who said this?
AD.
Really?
It must have felt or been a lot harder.
Did he shake him with something we didn't see?
It just looked like he gave him a gentle
push. I didn't see it. I hardly saw contact, let alone a push.
Yeah. I don't know. Dangerous play, but I want to go ahead and ask you, Stone, who do you see the Lakers losing to in a 7?
So, Stone, is that sun ever going to go away? Like, where the hell are you? That been on your face for like 2 hours.
It's sunny here.
Did the sun stop? Did the sun stop?
Joe, you are so funny.
What the hell? Seriously, I keep looking. I'm like, okay, it's gone. Okay. Yeah, all right, it's gone.
I'll go back. I think I can go back.
Keep going back.
I gotta go
away at some point. Just like when you're driving, you're like, oh, God dang it. You're driving, you put your glasses on, you have the visor, all of a sudden, but maybe 10 minutes, finally it goes. Then you can take everything off.
I think you, I have to lean back.
Here's Stone. Yeah, guys, Max Christie sucks. You know, like, what's going on here?
He does. I think that teams that would beat the Lakers, I mean, in a 7-game series, the Nuggets, like, I think just straight off that if the Lakers playing the Nuggets, I think is like very minimal chance that I think we pull that out. I think the Thunder would beat us. I know people disagree with that, but I think the Thunder would. I think the Clippers depend on health. If they have full health, they would beat us. But without Kawhi, then I think the Lakers win that. I think the Mavericks beat us. I think we would beat the Pelicans in a 7-game series. And I think the Suns, to me, is a real coin flip. I could see it going either way.
So there you have it. There's our thoughts. Great question, Robert. Once again, the Lakers do win 124-108. John, I bring it back to you. Again, great way to close out the season. But somebody in the chat, I forget who it was, said the Lakers are inconsistent. Oh, Pork Ryan said the Lakers are inconsistent. 47-35. Overall, their season, you could say, was inconsistent. From the highs to the highs, winning the IST, to what they did afterwards, that next 6 weeks was not too good at all. We went through it, the roller coaster ride, up and down, John. So your thoughts on how the season went overall as we head into the play-in games this week?
Yeah, I do agree. We were inconsistent. But I feel like my biggest takeaway from this season is that if we would have took care and handled business and not punted games earlier in the season, I don't think we would have been in the situation, to be honest with you, especially with how crunched up the West has been. I think the game that could have absolutely changed the season, it was a Timberwolves game, right? The one where LeBron James sat and then we ended up losing, and then we went from potentially being in the sixth seed. It was the game that me and Joe were just on the live after. It was when we could have been the sixth seed, but then we lost, so we went down and stayed in this play.
You know, last Sunday.
Yeah, last Sunday, I believe that is. I think that was one of the biggest games. And I think that right there was like the definition and like define what our season has been. It's been like, oh, LeBron James or Anthony Davis is like, oh, we're playing a really good team. And then the following day, we're playing a really bad team. How about we punt the game against the really good team because they're probably going to beat us anyway. And then we'll just make sure we beat the really bad team. Like, that's just such a
several times.
Where yeah.
AD or LeBron sat and we paid the price for it.
Absolutely. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that game right there was the definition of how our season has been. It's like we decided to punt games, and without us doing that, I think we could have 100% been in a much better position and now not been maybe most likely gearing up to face the Denver Nuggets. So yeah, I mean, because me, like, what I will say is, like, I'm not the type of guy to, you know, run from the smoke, but I'm smarter though about it. Like, it's kind of funny, Joe, you know how earlier you said it's like generations, right? Like, you think it's a generational thing. I think that, like, older generations, like, they can be, and take this with a grain of salt. They can be like harder headed. Like they'll be like, I don't care. Even if it's freaking Mike Tyson in front of me, I'll fight him. You know what I'm saying? Versus like a newer generation. It's like, you know what? Like I'll fight Mike Tyson, but I'm gonna have a knife in my pants. You know what I'm saying? Or just something like that. Because it's like, I'm not going to put myself in a situation where it's improbable for me to succeed. And I think we've put ourselves in a situation where it's improbable for us to succeed. So
the older generation thing usually is old people who can't handle change.
Yeah.
That's why that becomes a problem. My cousins who are in their early 30s call me boomer. Now, mind you, this is still people I could whoop their ass without even thinking. I go, you can't call somebody a boomer who can still whoop your ass. I said, I'm not a boomer, by the way. I can run circles around you in technology. I can do all that stuff. I'm not a boomer. I'm not an old man in the terms of progression. But I feel that there is a mentality that's changed because we're so used to easy. The more and more we go forward in life, everything's easy. Easier. You don't have to go hunt for your food. Then there's supermarkets. Then now there's deliveries of the food. Then at some point you're going to be sitting on the and you're going to be able to eat food there because somebody's going to come bring it to you there. So actually they can do that now. The point is there's a mentality and it softens you more and more and it softens you more. And then you soften and it soften and you soften. If you guys do some research, they've noticed that when you, the more liquid foods we eat, you know, everybody loves smoothies and shakes and all that BS. The jaw, what creates the good jawline is hard eating versus the soft. You start to see less and less of this chiseled chin because you're not eating solid foods. Body likes, that's what the body wants, solids too in the stomach. The human body is a pretty amazing machine. You soften it up, it will soften up. You harden it, it will harden up. You look at somebody like Ray Lewis. You look at somebody like, who else played 20 years in the NFL? Because I can't count quarterbacks. I'll think of some like Bruce Matthews back in the day, Clay Matthews, the father, not the junior. Those guys played 17, 19, 20 years in the NFL. They were hardened. And now, how are they now? How are they in basketball? How are they in baseball? Now pitchers are going out. And their arms are jelly after, what, 5 games? So what is it? Is it because you've coddled so much and your body isn't allowing itself to get stronger as you're developing? Then all of a sudden you get to the big leagues and they've softened you so much from travel ball to possibly college or minor leagues. And then when you get to the majors, all of a sudden now, after 2-3 years, you need Tommy John surgery. If not before, then you need a second one. So it just keeps kind of going. It just keeps going. When do you start saying, look, I'm gonna buck the trend and really work hard? I mean, Kobe Bryant was proof that he might not have been the guy that could jump over the building like Michael or LeBron. He might not have been as athletic as Jordan and Vince and maybe even McGrady to some extent, or I should say as tall and lanky as T-Mac was, but his hard work is what carried him, right? Carried him to 20 years. It's, I don't know. I'd like to think that that's not, I want that to come back a little. That's the one thing I want to come back is work your rear end off, harden your body. Just like hitting that brick, hitting that wood. At some point, your fist calcifies and you can hit it without pain.
Real quick, can I just jump in here?
No, you can't. I'm not done. I'm just kidding.
Park Renz. I don't know how to pronounce that, brother. Park Renz, brother. The reason why it's a very backwards take, he said, you want to face the toughest first, whether you face them first or last, you're going to lose. They're better than you. Okay. We've already said that the Denver Nuggets are better than us. And then you said, face toughest team first. And if you win, the rest should be a cakewalk. I responded to you and said that's a backwards take because, in my opinion, and I would think
and, you know, you guys let me know how you guys feel about this. But in my opinion, the reason why that's a backwards take is because if you face the toughest team first, that's going to take so much out of us. And it'd already be crazy if we beat the Denver Nuggets. So if we were to beat the Denver Nuggets, we would have to exacerbate everything we possibly have. And now we got to get through the rest of the league. No, that makes no sense. In my opinion, you want to face the Denver Nuggets, or you would like to face Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Final, or as late as you possibly can, which is exactly why that is a backwards take, my brother. You should not want to face the best team first when they are fully healthy, when they haven't had to play a play-in game, when they've had a chance to scout on you, recruit on you, do all that. So, yeah, that's why it's a backwards take, in my opinion, brother.
Okay, so you would want to face the Nuggets
as later, right? Yeah, after they've already gone through one round, through a second round, because hey, not to prey on somebody's downfall, but hey, man, one little rolled ankle could change literally everything. Jamal Murray rolls his ankle, could change literally everything. Now their starting point guard.
Didn't the Lakers do that last year, and they faced the.
Absolutely, but you're right, but I don't want to now face them in the first round when they're fully healthy and they've had time to scout on us, time to rest. It just doesn't make any sense to me to face the best team first.
Joe and Stone, do you prescribe to that same thing, or do you want to just get it over with, done and sooner?
I do not care. I don't care because I don't see us beating the Nuggets, regardless of whether we play them in the first or the Western Conference Finals. So to me, I'm pretty indifferent on when we face them because I just don't really see an opportunity to beat them.
I agree, though. And I want to make that clear. Like, I am making 100% clear sense that I'm not saying we'll beat them, but we have a much better chance of beating them after they've already faced all these other teams and gone through multiple rounds and have a better chance of having a player hurt or having a player not there. That's all I'm saying.
Joe, what about you?
I would have preferred not to play them in the first round. I would have liked the Lakers to have gotten their feet wet, maybe possibly a little bit, get some rhythm, get some momentum. But you're setting it up, as long as you win on Tuesday, for that. And I'm sure they know this. And I'm sure that I just hope they're not looking past Tuesday. I don't think they are, but I just hope they're not. Because
I hope they're not either.
You cannot risk thinking that way. Otherwise, you lose on Tuesday, and then you have to face Golden State. I think Golden State's going to win. I think they're going to beat Sacramento. And then you got to deal with Clay and Steph. I think they played their perfect game this last time they played the Lakers. I don't think that's going to happen again, but if there is a team that could do it again, it's them for sure. They're champions, multiple champions. I think it'd be kind of cool to take them out again. I'll admit that, but I'd rather not risk that. I'd rather just win on Tuesday, get some rest, and then muster all the energy you can for this next run. Go all out, see what happens. Maybe you'll get lucky.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. The Lakers do win 124-108. Joe, let me know that 8 p.m. is going to be the time for Lakers Nightcap with Joe Soros. So go ahead and look out for that. I'll go ahead and schedule up here in a minute. But before we head on out, I did promise Blue Magic we would give a final update on the Lakers Fast Break. Two different fantasy basketball leagues. And here you go. Yes, we have right up there as far as the emojis right there. Team number one, Keenan. TJ finished, my good friend TJ Johnson, he finished third. Slim Reaper, then I finished fifth. Gundy's Laker Knicks team finished seventh. LBJ's, our Knicks Neat team as well. He's in ninth. Sean's team, Magic Man, finished 10th. Chris and PMC finished up on the bottom. And in the ESPN League, we have Laker Nick with the victory. Tequila Wasted, Dumpster Fire, Jordan Scary Team, Grandmama's Team, Crash Test Dummies, Five Limes, No One On, and then Lakers Fast Break and Popeye Forever. I came up in the rear. So, yes, not good overall for me, but again, just happy that people had a chance to play and win in fantasy basketball. So truly appreciate everyone out there participating. It was a lot of fun over the course of the season, but Joe's coming up tonight with the nightcap stone. I'm going to go ahead and start it off with you as far as for some final thoughts on today's game and what's upcoming before we head on out.
Yeah, I think I don't really have final thoughts about today's game. My final thoughts.
@report_court.
Yeah, you can follow me @report_court. Follow Upside Swings because there's content coming out there soon. And that's all draft work, draft related work. So if you're interested in in-depth draft work, you can follow that too. But and it's available wherever you get this podcast. And that's about it.
You gonna be with us on Tuesday?
I will not. It's too late. Well, what time does it start at?
It's gonna be the second game probably.
Yeah.
No, it'll be the early game because they're in New Orleans.
So it'll be the first game, probably a 5 o'clock starting time.
If it's 5 o'clock here, it may be around. I have to see. I do have a commute as well.
No worries, my friend. Just great to have you here anytime. It is Stone Hansen @report_court. John Costa with Clutch Talk and Lakers Corner. What you got cooking at Clutch Talk and Lakers Corner?
Check me out, guys. Check me out. I got two channels for y'all. I got Clutch Talk, which is an NBA talk show where I'm on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, dropping you two episodes per week. And I actually just dropped an episode right now on Clutch Talk, so I appreciate if you guys go check that out. Worked real hard on it. It's my NBA MVP predictions, so I get into that, have a little bit of film breakdown as to who I got for that, whole bunch of stats. And then also I got Lakers Corner, man. Check me out. That's on YouTube where I bring you all type of Lakers recaps and Lakers content, and best believe I'll have some predictions here for play-in and playoffs. But as always, appreciate you guys having me here.
You got it. And tomorrow night's show, we'll have our season-ending awards, plus also a preview and a look ahead at the play-in game in New Orleans. Joe, you've got the nightcap coming up tonight. What do you got planned at 8 p.m. tonight, Pacific time? You know, just wing it. Just wing
stuff.
It. Boy, that just gets everybody so riled up.
You have no idea the stuff I'm bringing.
Okay.
It's going to be good. Stone will be asleep, though. So.
Can always catch it on the replay.
Yeah, I listen to it usually the day after.
No, I'll bring a little bit of tonight's or today's game dialogue. We'll also talk a little bit about Tuesday's game as well. New Orleans is going to play better. That always happens on Tuesday. And then it's just, I'd like to see maybe what they did tonight be the rest of the philosophy the rest of the year. I think LeBron initiating the offense was really, really good. I'd like to see that more here. Maybe it was their secret weapon that they pulled out at the last game. Because it looked like New Orleans didn't know where they were. This was a complete ownership from Tip.
They look like the team in that first quarter, in that first half, that the team that we've been waiting to see.
They looked like a team that made a good team look like they weren't. And the Lakers have had a few of those during the year, but this was pretty daunting for New Orleans fans because they're New Orleans in their own house. New Orleans playing for a sixth seed to make a playoffs right away, avoid the play-in. They had no shot. And you know, they're playing hard too, right? They're playing hard to get a playoff spot. They don't have to deal with the play-in. And they got smoked. They got smoked like they looked like they had not tried to play hard. They actually gave up in the second quarter. I noticed it. They kind of gave up, it was right around when Brandon Ingram stopped making his mid-range. He had hit a few, and then all of a sudden he missed, and then they're just like, oh, if Brandon Ingram isn't going to hit this mid-range, then we're toast, because then all they did was shoot threes, which is pretty much every other team.
Yeah, Z, he said it was a dangerous play. We can't see it very well on the replay. It looked kind of innocent to us, but he says it was a dangerous play, so we'll have to take his word for it. But AD says he expects to play. So that's good news for the Lakers. Looks like it's just only some back spasms, so hopefully it won't be something reoccurring. So yes, we will have our pretty much full squad outside of Jared Vanderbilt set for Tuesday night's action against the New Orleans Pelicans.
8 o'clock lifted.
Yes. Join Joe Soro.
11 o'clock Eastern. I don't know what it is in Australia. Probably early. But I want to get to everyone tonight. I know it's a Sunday.
All right, so he's going to be on at 8. That is Joe Soro, nightcap with him. Also, don't forget, Clutch Talk and Lakers Corner with John Costa and at report underscore court for your NBA draft fix with Stone Hansen. So again, the Lakers win 124-108. We'll be back as the Lakers Fast Break tonight with Joe Soro. And tomorrow, we'll be doing a snack pack, getting you set up for the play-in and our regular season awards right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.